Hey there.
What's up, Al? Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov.
Chodesh Tov.
Chodesh Tov.
What Chodesh is it?
Adar Bet.
That's right. There was in yeshiva, there was someone whose name was Adar, and he came to yeshiva, and he was one way. And then he like grew a lot that year, and then he became Adar Bet, Adar 2.0. So Adar Aleph was pretty good, but Adar Bet is like Adar 2.0. So,
sure hope so.
What do you hope is better about this other than the past other?
That we do our podcasts on Friday instead of Saturday nights. Feel like we teased that so hard last week of like, oh, we can do it on Fridays. And then here we are on Motzei Shabbos.
But we moved into our apartment this week.
We did. We did lots of things this week. This was probably one of the busiest weeks of our lives.
Can you think of a busier week?
Yeah. So I remember the last time I said this.
Okay.
Which was the week before Rosh Hashanah when we realized that in order to get our stuff to Israel in relatively fast enough time before we get here, because we were planning on moving in October and then that didn't work out. But we were like, okay, we need to figure out our lift to ship all of our stuff. So Kevin called up the Ali Aleph dude. And
Yitzhak
Spitz. And he was like, okay, we have a shipment leaving in 3 days. And we're like, ah! So we just, and that was also a week that I had to go into the office.
Nahon.
So, and I work remotely, typically. So I was going into the office, packing, and it was Rosh Hashanah. So yeah, that was the last time I felt this busy.
And were my parents coming for Rosh Hashanah? Yeah, my parents were coming to us also for Rosh Hashanah, and we were hosting meals.
We were hosting meals, davening, Eden.
Yeah.
The whole shebang.
Yeah.
Packing up our apartment, making sure that we get everything out. You were a king that week. You did so great.
Well, the only way to be a king is to be married to a queen.
That's right. Don't you forget it.
So, you're the Ishet Chayel Malka. Queen. You're also a queen this week. I don't know. I think this week was busier than that week, but maybe it's like hindsight. Like things seem easier in the past after they're done.
No, this week was harder for you.
Yeah.
Because I also was working this week.
Right.
So Kevin was not working. So that led to heavier weight on your shoulders. And there are also a lot of things that are harder for me to do here than for Kevin. So for example, speak Hebrew.
Your Hebrew is great. We just had a neighbor come by, Ariel, who was so nice. And she was saying like, wow, your Hebrew is great. And your wife's Hebrew is so good. And all of a sudden it's like, no, it's not. But I think you have a little imposter syndrome.
I didn't say that. Hebrew. I said toda.
You're going to get over your Hebrew.
Privately, I said to you. Now it's not.
You're going to get over your Hebrew imposter syndrome soon.
Bezlat Hashem.
Okay.
You know what I realized?
No.
The Cheerios in Israel are too sugary. I realized that right now. Looking at the Cheerios box that's sitting on our dining room table. And in Israel, they have these little symbols for like too salty, too sugary, too fatty. And like, I'm just refused to buy things that have those labels, basically, except for the salt. Because like, come on, salty pretzel. You got to have a salty pretzel.
But they do have ones with less salt. That's what I looked for.
No.
They just have sesame seeds on them.
Yeah, that's fine. You do that. No one's allergic to sesame in this household. But I'm just looking at this Cheerio box, which Eden has been pounding so hard. And I'm like, well, no, Eden loves Israeli Cheerios. And now I know why.
They're multigrain Cheerios. They're
right. I was like, multigrain? No, oh, no, fabulous.
Multigrain means it's more sugary.
Multi-sugars.
Yeah.
Brown sugar and white sugar.
Yeah, but the other thing that was hard about this past week was that they have this acclimation week in Israeli daycares, which, I don't know, what does that mean now?
It means instead of in America when you just say bye to your kid at the door at the first day at Gan or wherever you're going and you forget about them and then you come back 10 hours later and then you see them and the gananets or the American gananets just stick it out. The teachers. They just stick it out. They're just like, okay, this baby's going to cry. This is how it goes. This is going to be my day. In Israeli Gan, they're like, no, we need to ease them into it. They need to love us.
Even if they're 4 months old. They're 4 months old. They don't know up from down.
They don't know mom from daddy.
Yeah. And they're like, still, they probably know mommy from daddy. One's giving them food. One is just the...
Not everybody. Yeah. And Israel more, but...
Yeah. But even four-month-olds, you need to... only come in for like 8:45 to like 9:15,
and you sit with them for an hour, And then you leave with them. And then the next day you sit with them for an hour, and then you leave them for an hour, and then you get them the next day and they're doing great. You get a text. She's doing great. Pick her up while she's happy. I'm like, she's happy. What's going to change?
I'll leave on a high note.
Oh yeah. Leave on a high note.
It's a big Torah there about leaving on a high note. Speaking of high notes, any high notes from this past week, aside from being super busy?
We were super busy. But no, Shabbat was really, really beautiful. We had Kevin's cousin and Kevin's sister and Kevin's mom here for Shabbat. And it was just so nice to be with the family, but then also to go see 126 Ben Yehuda, which is the shul that's right nearby that kind of all the Olim go to. And just everyone was so friendly and welcoming. And there were so many kids just running around, and they have this little like tefillah for the kids. And it's so cute. And they have a kiddush for the kids.
Kids,
it's like really.
But there are some kids who don't go to the davening and they just go to kiddush.
Yeah, they need to be kicked out.
Yeah, so those kids.
How dare they? You know, they didn't earn it.
It's like they're 1.5 years old and already they're skipping davening and just going for the kiddush.
Are we trying to set?
Yeah.
Chutzpah.
Mamash.
No kiddush for you. Smack that kugel out of their hand.
They need kiddush guards.
Yeah.
Just like they have at regular
maybe
kiddush.
You can start that initiative.
No.
Find your niche.
Maybe. We have been trying to look out for things where we could find our niche, find our place to contribute.
So what's been one thing that you found besides for being the guard of one-year-olds who didn't go to davening and then want to eat some kugel?
I think the real niche that I found is to tell women that I have an awesome wife who they should have a chavruta with.
What? What are you talking about?
Like,
is she? Why don't I know that?
No, they're saying that there's not enough women's programming.
Yes, that's true.
So I'm like, I feel like I have someone in mind who could do really good women's programming.
This is nepotism at its finest. Yeah.
I think it's just feeding each other.
Nepotism?
Sure. You could call it that. But you didn't say any high notes from the week. You said high notes from Shabbat.
I mean, that was the Shabbat is the highest note of the week. But other high notes this week. I took Eden after Gan one day when she left on a high note. She was great. So I took her to the park and I was overlooking the beach and we just had the best time, like walking around and looking at the water and
water.
Like, this is where we live, like this paradise. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. And I don't feel guilty saying it anymore. I used to feel guilty when we were in like America and I'd be like, wow, like I can't, like it's healthy to appreciate where you are.
Right.
But there's like an added level of like, and I'm meant to be here, you know?
Right.
So yeah. That's really cool.
It is really cool. And like, I don't know, whenever we visited Israel, it's like, wow, this is so beautiful. This is such a special place. But like in your head, you hope Mashiach's coming. But if Mashiach doesn't come, then like you're probably leaving. But now it just like, we're here.
We did it.
We're settling. We're sitting. We don't have any, we made Aliyah.
Settling, not settlers. So. Yet.
We're returning.
Returning. We're returners.
Yeah. Yeah. But.
A Shabbat Avedah.
Mamash. Returning our Israeli soul back to us. Like they talk about Yaakov when he's leaving Eretz Yisrael, that he had angels going up and going down. And there were certain angels of Eretz Yisrael that like stayed with him when he was in the land of Israel, and angels that were from outside. So like, yeah, there's we're reuniting with like those parts of our souls, those angelic parts of ourselves that haven't been with us in a little bit. And now they're settling in too.
What was a high note for you this week?
A high note for me this week was probably getting our table to our apartment.
That was a low note and then a high note.
That's sometimes what the highest notes are. It's like only when you bend your knees, you're able to jump higher. Only when you...
Tell me about it. What happened? Tell the listeners.
Yeah. So Allison is a pro at Facebook Marketplace.
Meaning
that a lot of it seems like spam and this and that. But like Allison found our apartment on it. She sold a lot of our things from our previous apartment.
Granted, they were all great deals and everyone knew it.
Yeah. And then she found this awesome table in Givatayim, which is like the other side of Tel Aviv. That can be smaller.
It's like the Fort Lee equivalent to Manhattan.
Yeah, maybe, except there's no bridge.
No bridge, but there's also no water in it, so it's like good luck.
You cross over a highway, the Ayalon Highway. But the
no hate on Fort Lee, no hate.
Yeah, I was born in Fort Lee. But the table was so nice. Went there with my younger brother. We were gonna pick it up. We rented a van for the day.
It seats 6 closed. Can seat up to 14 open.
The table.
The table. Yeah, not the van.
Not the van. I thought you were talking like open van. It seated 7. We're sure she's going. So it was all going well. Got the table. Should have brought blankets to like protect it a little bit better. But like it seemed like it was fine. It wasn't really, you know, had a little hand truck. And then bring it to the car, load the leaves in, and then start to put the table in.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then the front leg just like, don't fit. Don't fit. And then had a piece to unscrew the legs, but was missing another piece. And like, it wasn't working out.
For an hour, they tried to fit it in.
Yeah, we were like going up and down and right and left and through the door.
Such a champ. It was a good sport.
Very much a mensch about it. And we took out the chairs from the car, the whole thing. So there was a bus stop, like a 3-minute walk away. So we went to try to go to the bus stop. And all the buses in Israel are required to have handicap accessible, like, entrance onboarding. So like, this is great. We have a hand truck. We'll just ask the bus driver to like lower the handicapped area and wheel it on. So I asked the first bus driver. He wouldn't even open the back door. He was just like, no way. Next bus driver, each bus was 10 minutes apart also. So this was pretty frustrating. It's like, okay, whatever. Maybe that bus driver was a little rude. Benjamin's like, if it was in Yerushalayim, they would definitely do it. Next bus driver, he opens the door. I'm like, please, I just made Aliyah like 2 days ago. Like,
just need a table. I'm eating on the floor.
This is really important to my wife. Like, please, can you just open it up? He's like, nope, bye. The next person, I was like, please, can you do the handicap entrance?
Grab some water from your water bottle, patted it on your eyes.
Yeah, and I'm like, there's plenty of room. There's no handicap people. He's like, you know what's going to happen at the next stop? I'm like, no, do you? He's like, there might be handicap people there. Bye. It's all unloaded, and he drove off. So finally, we see these like group of like 4 girls. They're standing in the back, like by the bus stop. So they're opening, so the bus driver comes, opens up the back thing, and I'm like, oh no, Shalala Azali, like, girls, can you help me? I'm like, I need help with the table. So they just like stand by the doors of the bus.
Shut up. You didn't tell me.
And they're like on the side, I'm like, Benna, Yala. We pick it up, just put it on the bus without opening the handicap thing because it was not working out. And then he's like, Mata Khoshesh, is it Masa'id? Which means like, what do you think? This is a truck? Like, get it off. And I'm like, no, sa, like, go, drive, like, and then I got off the bus. Benjamin stayed on the bus with the table, and I got into my van, started driving.
Because he needed to race the bus to get to the stop so he can help Benjamin.
Right, this is like a 60-pound table. So I'm racing against the bus, and in Israel, they have bus lanes where, like, there's only certain streets that the buses can go on, so I wasn't even going to be able to, like, go ahead of him or behind him. It was, like, different paths we were taking. But I got there, took it off. Table was a little bit scratched, but we made it in. So, I don't know. I felt accomplished, but it was very frustrating.
When you told me that story, I was so proud. I'm like, my Israeli husband, like, wow, so much chutzpah. Unbelievable. I'm so proud.
Thank you.
It was like, that's so un-American. It's un-American on so many levels.
What do you mean? I'm not patriotic?
It's like, culturally, obviously. It's like, you get a truck. Or something, but there are no trucks here because you need a truck license in Israel.
This is true.
So that's just, and everything's small. In America, everything is big. Here, everything is small. So that's un-American. Then it's also like using public transportation to like move crazy. Like, no, that doesn't happen in America.
I've seen people with some stuff on subways.
Subways, but like buses, like not really. And then also just doing chutzpah to be like, move. Like, I feel like in America, they'd be like, I'm pulling over until you get this off. And like that's the story.
Yeah, and Benjamin said once he started driving, he was nice about it, and that they were
it's ridiculous.
They were like joking around, yeah. And then when he said like on the other side that he was gonna like help him unload it, the bus driver and the bus, and he's like, no, my brother's gonna meet me there. It's all good. So it's like, yeah, there's a lot of love. There's a lot of love, which is sweet. Yeah.
And then, so that was one amazing Israeli story. You had a second one that apparently he was going to surprise me with. for this podcast to get my Ferrari.
I guess it would have been a better transition if I told you it before when we were talking about Gone. Because in the daycare, there was like, was it Wednesday? Where you dropped off Eden in the morning. Mm-hmm. And what happened in the morning?
I went to the beach to go to work.
After you dropped off Eden?
Yeah.
Well, what did they tell you at Gone?
They didn't tell me anything. I didn't know that I had to pick her up. I mean, I thought I'd pick her up. I said, okay, let's try to do nap time today. Because she was happy the past 2 days that I picked her up and she wasn't giving you problems. Right. Seems like she suggested.
Right.
So like, just keep her.
So Allison, when she does work and when she's on the beach, she doesn't have her phone on her. Or she has it in her backpack or something. So they tried calling her. They tried calling my mom, but she was in Netanya for the day. So it was a whole thing.
At 11:45. I dropped her off at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And she was fine.
Yeah. So they're calling. So I had like an in-person day for a potential job. And I was doing like interviews with them. And the people call. They're like, your wife's not answering. Like, are you going to come pick up Eda? I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm in Jerusalem. Like, I can't speak now. Like, so I said, sorry, I can't speak now. I'm in an interview. That's what I thought I said. And they're like, okay, bye. And then they call back again. And they're like, she's not answering. What's up? I'm like, sorry. I'm in this interview.
But he's only speaking in Hebrew to them.
I'm only speaking in Hebrew to them because I try to, when I know someone understands Hebrew, I try to speak Hebrew because I want to work on my Hebrew.
Totally understood you. This is why I don't do that.
So also, the person I was speaking to at the interview was like, we were supposed to speak from like 12 to 12:30 and he kept calling me and I kept being like, I'm sorry, I'm in like an interview. And they're like 12:20, and the guy's like, oh, okay, I also need to go figure something out. The person who I was speaking to at the office. So,
did he laugh at you?
I don't know. He was looking at me weird. Definitely. I'm thinking about this guy, and I'm going to see him at work in like a week.
So what happened?
So the next morning, I'm like, I go in to drop off Eden on Thursday morning, and I was like, oh, what time should I drop off Eden or pick her up? Like, oh, 11:45, 12. And they're like, are you a doctor or something? I'm like, no, why? They're like, you said you were a B.I.O.N. yesterday. You said you were like...
Pregnant.
And I was like, no, not pregnant. Interview. And they're like, Ra'ayon, which is an interview. So I thought I was saying, I'm an interview.
Like it. Pregnant.
I'm like, sorry, I'm in pregnancy.
And the person that you're going to see at the office is going to wish you a b'shah tova.
something like that. Like, are you an OB? Like, what? You go to the hospital? Like, what does it mean you're pregnant? Like, you deliver babies? So it's good. It's good. There's something, you know, that they sound very similar in Hebrew and English, or in Hebrew and other Hebrew.
Hilayon. Rayon.
Yeah. Rayon could also mean an idea, though.
Yeah.
But I just had a bad idea to speak Hebrew at that moment. That was not a good idea.
That's great. Great
idea. You like that I keep speaking Hebrew now?
Chetzi chetzi.
You don't like that I speak
Hebrew? No, I like it. Of course, I like it.
So what's chetzi chetzi?
If it's less efficient.
But in the long run, it's going to be more efficient.
Maybe.
Yeah. It was interesting. I remember Blau. Was writing a column called Alt Shift, which is how you like change from English to Hebrew. Mm. And he was translating Hebrew cultural articles that like Americans don't have exposure to. And one thing that he said is that it's like really chaval, like it's a shame that a lot of Americans don't speak Hebrew or can't read Hebrew well. And one of the reasons that he said possibly is that there's so much like good Torah content in English. That if you only have like, you know, a half hour on Shabbat to read.
Oh, for sure.
Like, are you going to read Hebrew or English? Like, because part of like Hebrew, like you have to work for it. And then by the time you work for it, it's like, did you even get that much? Opposed to like, if you spend 30 minutes and your natural language is English, then you'll probably get more ideas out of it. But I don't know. I think in the long run, it's a bad investment.
Mm.
Like you're taking the long short road, short long road. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
The one that seems shorter, but actually is longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think it's good to try to speak Hebrew.
It's great. No, 100% is great. You should continue to do that.
What about you?
What about me?
Are you going to try to speak more Hebrew?
Mitash.
Okay.
I'm already trying.
You are. You're succeeding.
I spoke Hebrew at the takeout place. We got food for Shabbat at the takeout place.
How do you say takeout in Hebrew?
Takeaway.
Takeaway.
Takeaway. I have to say it and sound a little stupid. Takeaway.
Talk about some takeaway?
Yeah. And they could tell that I was American. He answered me in English because there was like this cool ball thing that was in salsa. I was like, yeah.
Get mozzarella balls?
No.
Like,
no, I said, I wanted to say what's inside it. So how would you say that?
Mabifnim.
Right. So I said, mabemsa, what's in the middle, which is not how you say it. You would say mabifnim, what's inside. But it's like, so it's like I would, at a regular store, I would say, what's in the middle of that?
Yeah.
I wouldn't, or like, what's in between?
Yeah. Benjamin, when we picked up the table, he was trying to say like, oh, this is an awesome table because it goes really small and it goes really long. But he said, oh, wow. Like this is a Shulchan Tov. It's, you know, namuch vegadol. And namuch means like low, like short. And the person was like, I think it's a regular sized height. I don't know.
I'm not screwing you.
Yeah. She's like, I think like this is like normal height for a table. Why not? And I'm like, no, no, no. He meant like short and long. Isn't it funny? There was also today at Sudat Shlishit at like the third meal before Shabbat ended. There was this guy who was giving like a really long class in Hebrew. And like everyone else there was like kind of like old and like, I don't know, spacing out and like not his target audience, but like me and my 18-year-old cousin were there, and he was like talking like directly at my cousin who has like not the best Hebrew skills, and he was saying like an idea, and he's like, "Atamivin, like you understand me, like you know, you're getting this idea, like you're inspired," and I was like, "Well, maybe in Klum, like yeah, for like 20 minutes, Benjamin was literally like trying not to fall asleep." And he was like looking at him so intently, like giving him this whole pitch. And he was just like, nah, I
said that. Well, the polite thing would be, Ken.
No. Well, I didn't even know that he was asking him, do you understand? So I had to answer on his behalf. But he was like, do you understand this idea? Which was like a little complicated. And then I was like, no, he doesn't even understand anything that you're saying.
What'd he say to that?
Well, in general, the guy was like a little upset because
that's so sad.
It was pretty intense. It was like he was giving.
What was he talking about?
He was just like talking about Shabbat and like lo te'ase melacha, and it says you shouldn't like.
Oh, not a grammatical nuance thing.
It was.
Don't go there.
It was a grammatical nuance thing.
It's someone like, who doesn't even understand the Hebrew essence. Oh.
And like why it says it in like that passive language that's opposed to like an acronym language. No, it's Shesha Yamim Te'ase Melacha. Like 6 days work shall be done opposed to like Ta'ase, like you shall do work.
Oh no.
And then, so he gave like different answers. And he was someone who was like speaking really quickly. And like people would try to like ask a question or interject. And he was like, let me finish my thought. What are you doing? So people were like messing with him a little bit because he was taking it too seriously.
Who were the other people?
Just like old guys like around.
And
like,
the old guys are holding that they shouldn't be funny like that?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. When I envisioned old guys, I just envisioned like the young Israel Kew Gardens Hills.
No, 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 no. They're like old like Sparty guys who are just like, you know. So he like said like, he's like, I'm going to say three answers. So he said like the first answer and he's like, you know this? And he's like, someone's like, perush chalash, perush chalash. Like, that's a weak explanation, weak. And he's like, let me finish my idea. What did you do? So he kept getting like very upset.
Wow.
And then it ended up turning into like a whole thing. And someone like gave him like serious musser, serious like feedback of like, you're not cut out to do this. Every time you try to give shir and yell at people, like you have to learn to like give over Torah and like accept questions and stuff. So there's already.
Was he Macabel?
No. This person was like, and like very not able to like receive the feedback. Mm. He was like too worked up and too like.
I'll get there sometimes.
Yeah, but
if you have a really cool Torah idea, no one's hopping.
It wasn't that no one's hopping. It was like he was taking it too seriously, and like he was just like
this was his moment.
So that's what the person said. He's like, you think the whole world like revolves around you? You think you're like, you know, like doing something so special? Like you're just sharing a Torah idea. Everyone's here. Like we're just, you know,
we're just eating some hummus.
Yeah, we're just eating hummus and like trying to like talk about it with you, and you're like, need to finish your idea, and are like yelling at everyone.
That's the thing also with like just education. A lot of the times you'll have a place where you want to go with, you have a direction, you have the end point that you want to arrive at. But I think good educators give up that end. Like,
yeah,
you got to go for the ride that the people.
Yeah. And he had like three ideas, but each one of the ideas was like building on like two other ideas. And it was like, someone would say something. He's like, I'm getting to that. Like my next idea. And it's like, whoa. But it's Adar, and it's Rosh Chodesh Adar, and it's Adar Bet. And one of the things is like, lo yada, ade ade lo yada, ade ade lo yada, ade lo yada. Like there's an element of like not knowing. I'm like, I don't know, not knowing or incapable of knowing. And sometimes you have to give up a little bit in a healthy way. And like, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. Let me crowdsource. Let me not be like, I have all the ideas, I know everything, like, you know, wait for me to finish this and this. Like there's a plan that we don't understand. All these things happened on Purim that it was like, you think it's going this way and then it goes the other way. You think it's going the other way and then it goes this way. And it's been a crazy first week.
I thought that table was fitting in that car.
Yeah. But lo yada, you know? You don't know.
I thought that you were a doctor. Lo yada.
Yeah. So we should just be open to the opportunities that present themselves, to the laughter that should come our way, and to hopefully, I don't know, Hashem having a greater plan. Really, one of the things that's been like so with me, which like I haven't been feeling as much today. Just because it's Rosh Chodesh Adar and Marbim B'Simcha, but just like the thickness in the air in Tel Aviv of like...
Things are not okay.
Yeah, the soldiers, the hostages, and like, yeah, there's this display on the benches on Dizengoff, which is the street that we live on. And on the benches, they have these like giant teddy bears that are like mangled with red on them, and like they're ripped and there's like soot on them, and yeah, teddy bears are like, we're so delicate and fun and like soft, and then you just see them and just like, I don't know, think of the Bibas family and like all those people who are not with their families, who they just want to hug, and just gets you. Just like puts that pit right in your throat. You're just like, yeah. And there's like a healthy and unhealthy consciousness. What do you think?
You said it.
And a lot of tears, a lot of prayers. There's a... I like to think about that we daven towards Israel, we daven towards Yerushalayim, and it's kind of like cell reception, you know, from America. You could daven, you could take a phone call with Hashem, but the reception isn't as good. You're further away from the tower, so here it's the ability to pray, the ability to feel the words. It's definitely been a lot more acute here. So we should have good prayers. We should see a month of Vinafoch turning things good, Bezrat Hashem. Also Ramadan is starting, which is just like a whole other thing in the region.
Yep.
And yeah, we should see Nisim. We should see miracles. And lo yada, b'lidai, without end. Chodesh tov, Shavua tov.